shot across the line. I was not caught, though many tried. I live among you, well disguised.
You're kidding. Just one shot?
They're not all zombies, Doug. How do you fight this thing?
Maybe we could drown it in A1 sauce.
Well, sometimes that is better. The person you put up there ain't the person that comes back.
It's dead song to get down with. About 6 feet under. Get dead.
Ooh, I love this song.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
All right, hello and welcome to episode 4 of Rotten Reviews. We will be discussing a movie directed and produced by Steven Spielberg, screenplay and written by Richard Matheson, starring Dennis Weaver. We are discussing the 1971 classic Duel. This is inspired by a short story that was published in Playboy magazine. A commuting salesman going across California, who's then tormented and terrorized by a semi-truck driver, a mysterious driver who we never see other than his hand and his feet. And that we don't really see him that often. We never see his face. So let's get right into the fun of this. Movie starts out in traffic. It definitely, to me, upon looking up, I didn't really know it was set in California. I thought maybe it started out in New York because that's just what it looked like to me. It looked like a downtown New York that it starts out in. But apparently it's California. I know once we get farther in the movie, there's deserts and lots of sand and whatnot, dry areas, so maybe that part is definitely the California part, but it looks like it starts out in New York. But and then with this displaying this one, I will try and use Dennis Weaver's character name a lot, but I'll probably just end up saying Dennis Weaver because that's just, you know, I just remember him as that. I remember him as his real character, his real name. So just to build a little bit of backstory, whether we have these scenes building up of him driving, leaving the city and starting his cross-country tour to get to a business meeting of all things. You know, God forbid there was no internet back then or Zoom meetings. It would have made things so much easier. But you gotta remember, we're living in a different time in this movie. But yeah, the whole time he's the starting of the driving, we have this talk radio station playing in the background where it's discussing relationship advice and what to do to help build a strong relationship, which I thought was kind of funny because there's also parts of we get a little bit of backstory of what happened the night before. It sounds like they were having a business party of some sort at David Mann's house, aka Dennis Weaver. And by the sounds of it, one of the co-workers was pretty much hitting on his wife, and he could care two shits about it. And that upset his wife. And yeah, there's a little bit more that we'll discuss about that, but that's how it starts out. I would also like to mention before we get started in this, I watched this movie later on in life. I probably watched it in the early 2000s, I'm thinking. I can't remember correctly when. But looking at the design of the semi that's the main villain of this movie, it's very brown, very rusted, very, you know, you can tell it's been around a while. It's seen lots of different weathers. It's falling, it's not really falling apart, but it's definitely seen better days, which definitely watching it over and over again, I always get strong vibes of the Creeper truck from Jeepers Creepers. So I'm thinking that the Jeepers Creepers truck is definitely very heavily inspired by the look of this semi. So that's just a personal thought and opinion on it. It could be, could not be. I didn't really do any research on that, but to me, that's definitely what it looks like. So we got the Weaver going for his nice scenic view, driving down the road. I think enough now, it comes up behind the truck. Truck's going kind of slow. So Weaver finally makes his way past the semi. You think of nothing of it, you know, past vehicles all the time on the highways. It's a normal thing to do. But I'm not sure if that was a good thing to do or not, because maybe seeing Weaver's in a red truck, maybe the trucker saw blood, kind of like a, you know, the cliche of the bull seeing red and just infuriating him, because Weaver and his little Plymouth Valiant really pissed this trucker off, to the point where they battle for positions. They're going back and forth. So at one point, even the semi gets past Weaver again, just to slow down to a slower speed, just to irritate Weaver. It's a battle between one another, for sure. Then later on, Weaver pulls into a gas station to fill up. He also is going in there to make a phone call to his wife, using the payphone, and having to, you know, to set the time period, you have to use the payphone, connect to the operator, then the operator connects you to whatever call you want to make. That's how things used to work back then, kids. You probably don't know what payphone is. It's understandable. If you want to hit that pause button right now and Google what payphone is, you're more than welcome to. I'll understand. I'll give you a few seconds. When Weaver's at this gas station, he just wants his car filled up, and the trucker pulls in beside him in the next gas area, because it's just two little gas stations beside one another. And the trucker pulls up a little bit. All we can see is the trucker's hand coming out the driver window, or yeah, the driver's side window. And then at one point, the trucker gets out of the truck and goes over to the passenger side, and he's checking the tires, and we see his feet. We never see his body, we never see his face, we don't see his face at all in the movie. There might be one scene where we see his face, but we don't know it's him. The whole time Weaver thinks nothing of it, that the truck pulled in beside him. And then the gas attendant wants to check underneath the hood of the car just for the sake of doing it. He's kind of like the gas attendant and probably like the mechanic by the looks of it. He mentions that Weaver's going to need a new radiator hose, but Weaver doesn't think anything of it, just thinks he's trying to get more money out of him, which could be the case, but later on we'll find out it's not the case, and he should have just got the goddamn part and not be a cheapskate. So that just goes to show, kids, that not all mechanics are trying to screw you out of money. Most probably are. Not gonna lie, most probably are, but not all of them are.
Yes, sir. Whatever you want, I got it. What do you want?
Fellow with Ethel.
If Ethel don't mind. Want me to check under the hood for you?
Please, yes.
Looks like you could use a new radiator hose.
Yeah, where have I heard that before? I'll get one later, thanks.
You're the boss.
Not in my house, I'm not.
You also get a little bit more of the backstory between David Mann and his wife. I know I'm jumping between his real name and his character name, and I'm sorry about that. It's, they had a party the night before, and it sounds like it was a work-related party, and there was a bunch of people over. And by the sounds of it, one of Mann's co-workers was making moves on his wife, and Mann didn't care at all. He could care less, pretty much. So that really upset his wife. So that's the whole reason why they're fighting at this exact moment. Man then leaves to go back into his car. and the mysterious trucker is getting impatient. He's sitting back in his car, in his truck, honking the horn a little bit. Man doesn't think anything of it and just thinks, okay, you're just getting impatient. Maybe you gotta drop your load off at a certain time. Who knows? Man drives away. Of course, you know, just going back to his daily, you know, travel. Then, out of nowhere, the truck quickly approaches behind man. Like, I'm not sure how fast the gas attendant clerk filled up the truck or did whatever, but the truck shows up like nothing and is silent as hell. At this point, Weaver's kind of not thinking anything of it. They're driving around this like mountain area, and Weaver passes for the truck to pass him. He waves his hand out the driver window saying, you know, come on, go ahead, pass me, because that's how fast the truck is. The truck's pretty much running on his ass. So the trucker passes him. And as soon as the truck gets past him, though, he just slowly draws speed, which starts to annoy Weaver. So we then have a game of Weaver trying to get past the truck, or for the truck to serve out in front of him at each attempt he makes. Finally, Semi does the same thing that Weaver did earlier, sticks his hand out the window, telling him to pass. That was a trap, though, because he's waving him into oncoming traffic, because he's a dick like that. This really gets to Weaver and upsets him. You can tell he's definitely getting annoyed. He's still stuck behind the truck, worried that he's not going to make it to his business meeting of all things in time. You know, this truck just tried to kill you, but let's worry about the business meeting, because that makes sense. Weaver is then tired of playing the games, and he uses this little small dirt road that goes off to the side to overtake the truck, which surprisingly he does with no problem, because we later find out Weaver, under stress, does not have the greatest driving ability. He definitely does not handle it that well. We then see some really done vehicle shots. It's shot by Steven Spielberg, so of course it's going to be really nice. The way they set up the chase scenes and the tail scenes and all that kind of stuff, it's definitely very cool. It gives you a feel of the speed and the terror and the suspense in the movie. You can see in the rear view mirror of the car that the semi is right behind him again, and which then causes David Mann to start panicking again, because he thought he was getting away from him, but clearly he is not. Semi then comes right up behind Mann and gives him a little love tap on the back bumper, just to give Weaver a better acknowledgement of, you know, I'm right here, and you're not gonna lose me, I'm just still here. And then the truck gives him another love tap, which really is really starting to get to Weaver. Really starting to stress him out. You can definitely tell he's starting to sweat more. He's looking very anxious and very worried, which rightfully so. When a transport's ramming you in the back, it's all right to be worried, because you're probably going to die. This is then when the chase finally starts to pick up. We have the music starting to come in, because throughout the beginning of the movie there's not really any music playing in the background. There's the radio and whatnot, but a suspense style music starts playing to add to the extra anxiety and terror of the chase. Weaver then swerves off the road. He sees a buildings coming up. He's trying to reach safety. He figures, you know, if I can get to the buildings, I'll be safe. As doing so, when he pulls off on the side of the road, he loses control of his car on the dirt and finally crashes the passenger side of his car into a fence. Hopefully he's going to pay for that. There's no mention of that, but I'm sure he's being a nice businessman. He'll probably pay for it. I don't think he does, but, you know. Little old man comes to check on Weaver. Weaver says he's fine, you know. Might have a little bit of whiplash, but no big deal. Weaver finally gets out of the car to make it over to the diner that's across the road. I think it's like Chuck's Cafe or something along those lines. We can definitely see he's very stressed out by the manner, because when he's getting out of the car, you can just see his armpits are soaked with sweat. His tie's all messed up. He's sweating a lot. You can see it on his face, which is definitely helps build to the terror that he's feeling in the movie. Man makes it inside to the men's room, where he washes up a bit to try and calm himself. His little pep talk to himself, trying to figure out what's going on. Upon exiting the men's room, though, and making it back to a booth to sit down to grab a bite to eat, man notices outside that the semi that's been chasing him is now parked there as well. This is when the anxiety and the terror and the fear really starts to come back. From the window inside, it looks like the truck is empty. We can't really see anything, but it definitely looks like it's empty. Could be outside the truck for all we know. Or he could be inside the diner. We're not really too sure. All we know is what his hand and his foot look like. And of course, everyone in this cafe looked the exact same, with the exact same style cowboy boots on. So we really have no idea who it could be. Could be anyone sitting inside, or they could be outside still, just by the truck for all we know. The waitress comes up to man to order. He gets startled, of course, you know, because he's scared. He's a chicken shit. Let's just say it. He orders something like a cheese sandwich on rye with a side of like Tylenol or Advil. Back when you could go to a restaurant and ask for pain pills. Just seems like a weird concept. I don't know if you can do it anymore. I wouldn't think so, but I don't really ever ask, so I wouldn't know. We were sitting in the booth then, just trying to get a handle on the situation, trying to figure out what's going on, thinking maybe the truck drove by too fast, maybe this is his normal spot to sit down and get a bite to eat, or maybe he's, you know, chasing me and trying to kill me. Actually, he's not sure. We won't know. Could be his usual spot to eat every day. We really don't know. A driver then goes to leave the diner, headed in the same direction as the semi, so we think it might be the driver, only for that driver to get into a small truck that's parked on the other side of the semi that we can't see. So clearly it's not him. Weaver then gets up from his booth to try and confront a gentleman that he thinks may be the driver of the semi. Not sure why he picks this one guy. There's nothing really to go on to make this guy the guy. This guy is definitely confused because man's talking to him. Tell him that, you know, cut it out. I'm not playing games. I'll get the cops involved if I have to. Which really confuses the guy because he's not sure what's going on. And then man does the stupid thing of slapping the guy's sandwich out of his hand, which then the guy gets up and just beats the living crap out of him. Man's on the ground, and then I think it's the main chef or main cook comes over to stop the fight. He's upset with man because of the whole incident going on, and offers to pay for the trucker's food or to give him a beer, and the guy's not having it, just leaves their cafe, only for him to get into a different transport and not be the one that's been trying to kill man.
Look, I want you to cut it out.
What?
Just cut it out, okay?
For what?
Now, come on, I mean, please, I let's not play games.
What the hell are you talking about?
I can call the police.
Police?
You think that I won't? You know, mister. You, if you think you can take that truck of yours and just use it as a murder weapon, just killing people on the highway, well, you're wrong. You've got another thing coming.
Man, you need help.
Don't you tell me I need help.
Hey! Hey! Come on! Hit him twice now. What more do you want, huh? Come on now. Look at him. He's sick.
Can't you see you're gonna fight no one?
The creep comes around and acts like sandwiches.
All right. I'll buy another sandwich. Now, come on, forget it.
No, forget it.
Stay around. Let me buy you a beer, then, huh?
I'll buy you a beer.
Why don't you get out of here, huh?
At this point, once man finally gets back on his feet, he hears the transport start up. And for whatever reason, he goes outside and feels like it's best to start running down the road chasing the truck, even though the truck's been trying to kill him the whole time. So I'm not sure where his mindset is in that part, but I guess it's just the adrenaline running. I'm not too sure. Doesn't really make sense, but it is what it is. Weaver then makes it back to his car, start the drive away from there. As he's on his way down the road, he runs into a school bus that stopped on the side of the road that needs a push start. Here goes nothing, I guess. I don't know how you think your little Plymouth Valiant's going to be able to push the school bus out, but give it a try, I guess, only to get your front bumper stuck. And yeah, good job on that one. For what reason, though, the bus driver did not realize or see the transport driving by at all, so I'm not sure how that worked out. Then again, this truck shows up behind the car very mysterious and very quietly, so maybe he just quietly drove by the school bus on the side of the road? Not too sure. Once Weaver's trying to push the school bus and his front bumper gets stuck, he gets out of the car. He looks down the road a little bit because there's a tunnel. The truck has now turned around and came back towards him and is sitting at the entranceway of the tunnel with the lights off. As soon as Weaver kind of realizes it and looks up, the semi turns its lights on and slowly starts driving down the tunnel. Weaver's getting frantic, worried about the kids getting hurt, so he's wanting the kids to get on, saying that the truck driver is crazy and is going to kill them all. The school bus driver doesn't believe him at all. They finally get Weaver's car out. He has the bus driver inside the car backing up while Weaver's on the hood of the car bouncing up and down on it to try and get it unstuck. So they finally get the car unstuck and Weaver takes off. For a reason, he stops at the entrance of the tunnel to look back. The semi is now rounding the bout to get behind the bus, and for a reason just pushes the bus out of the way to start it and has no worries about killing the bus driver or the kids. So clearly it's something that Weaver did to piss the driver off, which is either the color of his car or the fact that he got passed by it. We then cut to Weaver as he's casually driving down the road alongside a train, not thinking anything of it. It's weird because his sense of fear and anxiety just seems to be gone again. Just like it's not a big deal. Not a big deal that a semi truck's been trying to kill you the whole time on this drive. Then we have Weaver, who has to stop at the train crossing because, of course, the train's going across. And then the semi comes up on him again. He doesn't even hear it coming up on him until the truck starts pushing on the back of the car. And then we have the struggle of Weaver trying to keep the car still and not get pushed into the passing train. As soon as the train gets all the way by, though, he floors it and drives right up the side of this hill that's kind of like a ditch. And the semi doesn't think anything of it and just keeps driving down the road. So it's definitely a game of cat and mouse that they're playing. He's definitely playing with his food, and he doesn't really care. Weaver then gets out of the little ditch or side of the road that he's on, starts driving down the road. He thinks that trouble has passed, as the semi should be long gone by now. Only do we find that the semi has been waiting on the side of the road this whole time for him. Weaver then pulls off to another small gas station kind of center. It's a weird setup because this old lady has a bunch of snakes and other reptiles and just tanks outside. And she has a phone booth out back. It's at this time that Weaver goes around back to call the police, and then the semi must realize what's going on, because that pisses him off, because he then turns the truck around and tries to kill Weaver again. Weaver just gets out of the phone booth in time as the truck smashes into it and smashes all the ladies' animal holders all over, aquariums and all that kind of stuff. Weaver's kind of, you know, stressed out and asking if the lady had any, like, another phone. She's all upset because her snakes are all getting out and her spiders are all getting out, and it's just a hectic little time. Weaver then gets back into his car and starts driving away, and then the chase is back on. Weaver then takes his car off road to hide it behind this, like, opening beside a train track.
Hello, Freaks and Creeps. It's that time again where we help support some fellow horror content creators. First up, we have Diabolik DVD. Make sure to check out DiabolikDVD.com for all the new listings on horror DVDs and Blu-rays. Hell, there's even some titles there I've never heard of before. Great content, great customer service. You won't be let down. Next up, we have Graveyard Goods. Content created for the dead, by the dead. Don't be left to the dead. Right now in stock, they have some Hellraiser, Halloween 3, and Exorcism merch, such as sweaters, hats, and sweatpants. Definitely go check them out as well. Check out their newsletter, sign up, and don't be left for the dead. That's graveyardgoods.com. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
This is where Weaver then decides to take an hour break or so because the truck goes by him. It's odd though that the truck couldn't see him hiding in this little spot, even though, because everything's sand, that there would still be sand kicked up in the air, but apparently that's not an effect, and the truck driver just keeps going on his way. So Weaver decides to take an hour or so break so the truck can get farther ahead. He falls asleep, only to be woken up by a passing train. He gets a little startled because he thinks it's the trucker again, but no, it's just a passing train going by him because he's parked right beside train track. We're then back on the open road. Weaver then has to slam on the brakes and slides the car, fishtailing it down the road a little bit, because the truck is yet again parked on the side of the road waiting for him. So clearly this truck has nowhere to be in a hurry, because he's just playing a cat and mouse game here. This also almost caused another accident, as a station wagon has to swerve out of the way and go off the road just to avoid hitting Weaver's car, because it's parked sideways perfectly in the middle of the road. Weaver then repositions his car and starts to floor it towards the truck, only for the truck to pull out in front of him. And Weaver's unsuccessful at passing, so he spins the car back around and goes back the other way and parks it again. And then the semi parts back into his original spot, just, you know, getting ready to play some more games. Well, Weaver then gets out of the car and slowly walks towards the semi again. Not sure why. You know, he's trying to kill you inside your car, so what's going to stop him from killing you outside the car? As he slowly gets closer and closer to the semi, though, the truck slowly drives away and parks farther up the road. So Weaver stops and then heads back to his car. Upon heading back to the car, he sees another car coming down the road towards them. It's an older couple. He tries to explain everything that's going on, and the wife's not having it. She just thinks he's crazy and wants to leave. He asks them if they could call the cops for him, or if he could take, or if they could take him to the next town over, and they just want nothing to do with it. To the point, the semi driver mustn't realize what's going on, so he starts flooring the truck in reverse at them. The old couple spin away. I'm not sure if they ever go to decide to get help, or if they just say screw it and drive away, because they're never seen again.
Car trouble?
Well, in a way, yes. I wonder if you'd do me a favor.
What's that?
Would you stop at the nearest telephone you come to and call the police?
Police?
Yeah, you see that truck?
Mister, we don't want any trouble.
No, there won't be any trouble. All I'm asking you to do is just call the police.
We better go. Was there
no, ma'am, all I'm asking you to do is just to make a phone call.
Jim, step on the
My phone. Life's in danger.
I'm
Can't
sorry,
you make a lousy
Mr.
phone call to the lousy I'm... police for me?
Stop it, mister.
Well,
you're
just drop me off at the nearest station. I'll pay you for it.
Jay!
The truck stops right in front of Weaver's car, and Weaver's running it through the field. Then the truck pulls away again and parks off to the side. Weaver makes his way back to his car. Well, that's, you know, the race is on again, because Weaver slowly pulls up to the semi, and then he's doing his, you know, he's got his hand outside the driver window again, waving him on, telling him it's okay to pass, you know, everything's good. Weaver then gets ready to pull out in front of him, puts the pedal to the metal to give it all and try to get away from the semi. Weaver then has the advantage for a bit as the road is going uphill, which gives him a little bit of a speed advantage due to the big truck. Then once the road starts to level out, the truck starts to catch up again. We then see what kind of driving skills Weaver has as he's swerving side to side. He's hitting like the side of the road a bit. At one point, he swerves off the road and takes out a bunch of fence posts, and the truck driver's staying on the road. So clearly, Weaver's the worst of the two drivers. We then have Weaver, who's... this road's pretty much following the train tracks because we're driving alongside another train, and then once the semi pulls up, they do their little honking session to say hello to one another. Trucker blows his horn, then the train blows its horn. I thought that was a little cool added effect. And Weaver finally makes a sharp turn, heads back up another road that has a bigger incline up the hill, which helps him gain distance on the semi yet again. It's not going to be that good though, because then the trouble starts as Weaver's car starts to smoke due to the radio hose giving out on him. Guess he should have got it fixed in the first place. Yeah, should got it fixed. Not all mechanics are assholes. Should got it fixed, but too late now. The temperature of the car starts to rise, and the speed starts to decline, allowing the semi to slowly gain on Weaver as he's making it up the hill. Luckily, he gets to the top of the hill before the car dies, and is able to put it into neutral and let the car slowly gain speed down the hill. Weaver looks back and slowly starts to lose control of his car as it's starting to gain speed. He grinds it off the side of the mountain a bit. Poor car has seen better days, for sure. He starts to lose control yet again, swerving back and forth. He finally makes it to the bottom of the mountain where the car then smashes into, I think it's like, the bottom of the hill, but the car is finally able to start just before the semi reaches the bottom of the hill. Weaver then drives down a side road slowly as the car has little to no power left in it. It's overheating, it's ready to die. Weaver then comes to the end of the road and turns the car around, lining it up at the incoming semi. He has a little bit of a distance on him right at the moment. Then it becomes a game of chicken as he drives his car directly towards the truck, jumping out at the right moment, and the car crashes into the semi. I think he uses his briefcase to put down on the gas pedal to keep the car going. Trucker could care less so that he just hit the car, because he's just shifting gears now, driving through the crushed metal and flames, and to the point where he drives right off the cliff with the car. And then the truck explodes on impact down the side of the mountain. We then see Weaver jumping around like a kid on Christmas, all happy that he beat the truck that's been trying to kill him the whole time. He just destroyed this mysterious trucker who's been trying to kill him all day. He has a little breakdown, rightfully so, you know. You just survived this big semi who's been, you know, tormenting you all day. Does he really pay off though? Does he really survive? Because let's look at things this way. He's in the desert. He has no vehicle. He has no water. No form of calling for help, and no sign of civilization around for miles. Will he actually make it out of the desert, or will it be two dead people in the desert? Because there's no signs of anyone around for miles and miles. And the sun's starting to go down, so he's probably going to die out there. Guess we'll never know, though. But yeah, the movie finally ends. He's just sitting on top of the cliff, looking down at the wreckage of his car and truck, and just throwing pebbles down there. And that's the end of the movie. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it. It's definitely a good movie. I definitely recommend it. I enjoy it a lot. It's up there. For whatever reason, I just enjoy movies of killer vehicles trying to destroy everything. I don't know what it is. It's just something I enjoy. So I'm going to start a review system. So for me, the scoring is going to be a 5. I don't know if I should do like skulls or machetes or hockey masks or what should be. But for this one, for this movie, I'd give it a solid 3.5 rubber tires out of 5 due to it being a vehicle movie. Definitely a solid movie. I definitely enjoy it. And I definitely recommend checking out the short story too. If you can find it anywhere. Definitely a good, fun movie to watch. So now we're at the end. So that leads me to decide what we're going to watch next. I'm going to go with another fun one that I enjoy. We're going to watch the original Critters movie. If you guys haven't seen it, you get these little space aliens that are balls of fur with a lot of rows of sharp teeth that also shoot like porcupine needles out at you. And they hunt in like packs. And then they start growing and reproducing like gremlins. So it's definitely a cool movie. Definitely recommend checking it out. And if you guys enjoyed this, make sure to leave a like or comment depending on where you're listening to it. Give me a rating, you know, use the hashtag Rotten Reviews or hashtag Typhonstein to get a hold of me on all the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, wherever it might be. So until then, I will talk to you guys all later. Peace.